may be seated. Thank you for your service to our nation. You know, the fact that we're able to even be in here worshiping freely today is because people have stood up for that right and for that freedom, and we thank you for that. While we honor and remember our servicemen and women, remember that we truly exalt Jesus. It's a whole different level. Jesus is above us all. So let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let's invite Jesus to be here with us, if you will pray with me. Father, thank you for these men and these women that have served our nation. We thank you for those who've given the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. God, thank you for the freedoms that they have purchased. But God, we also recognize that it is truly in Christ that we have true freedom. And so, Lord, would you bless us this day with your presence? Would you send your Holy Spirit? Would you minister to the hearts of those who are here, especially those, God, who have remember loved ones who have lost their lives in service to our nation, God? We thank you for the sending your Holy Spirit that Pentecost day, and we thank you that the Spirit lives not only with us, but it resides in us. Would you come and would you stir our hearts this day? We lift high the name of Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Welcome to our live stream audience that's worshiping with us as well. Rise if you're able as we worship.
looking forward to that day. I told the early service, we're all going to be changed, right?
Yes.
I'm going to have a brand new body. I want a slender, sleek body. I don't want this little chunky body I got now. But it doesn't really matter what we're going to look like, because we're going to be with Jesus and we'll be like Him. Amen?
Right.
Let's continue to celebrate the reality that we're going to heaven someday.
That's right.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Seated, children, if you want to come forward for the children's service.
Hey guys, how are y'all? Watch out. Let's get back a little bit. Let's get back. Mr. Roberts, bringing my chair up here for me. Thank you. Appreciate it. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? I'm excited to be here today. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Oh, I am so glad that you love learning about Jesus. Oh, it's so much fun to learn about Jesus because we want to live for Jesus, right?
Yes.
You got some new shoes? And you got a new dress? All right. You got new shoes too? All right. Does everybody in five new pairs of shoes? Wow. Way to go. Are you very good? All right. Has everybody enjoyed the rain? Okay, has anybody got to play yet in the rain?
No.
Really, I saw some kids out in the yard yesterday playing in the rain. They were just enjoying the puddles right by the. You didn't?
Did they
yeah.
Swim?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't jump in the puddles, but they were. So, all right. So, y'all ready? So, I have a question for you. Okay. Okay, if you were standing in line to get ice cream. Would you want to be first or last?
Last.
First?
First.
First? You want to be last? All right. First? What would you want to be? You want to be first. Well, you know, I think most people like to be first, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. We all like to be first. What do you like? You want to be first or last?
Both.
Both? You want to be both? You want to go first and then go back last and get some more ice cream. All right. Way to go. All right. So if you're playing on a team, maybe if you're playing soccer, you're playing against another team, right? You have a winner and you have a loser. So do you want to be the winner or do you want to be the loser?
Winner.
Winner. We all... You want to be the loser? All right. Well, we need to learn to lose. We need to learn to lose. That's right. Yeah. So we like to win. We like to be first. But are we always first? No, we are never always first. We can't always be first. Because if we were all first, it wouldn't be, it'd be right. Because, you know, we have winners and losers, right? So this morning, I'm going to have my three helpers right here. Okay, y'all want to come help us? You're going to get a piece of paper. Just hang on the piece of paper. Don't open it. Just hang on to it. Just hang on to it. Keep going. I don't know. You're going to have to find out. Don't open it yet. Do not open it yet. Okay? You're all going to get a number, and we're going to find out what number you're going to be today. Okay? So you might be number one. We could be number two. We could be number 40. You could be last. You could be whatever. We're going to find out what number you're going to be. Okay, y'all ready? Okay. Open your piece of paper.
What is
one? One? Who got one? Did you all get number one? So can we all be number one?
No.
No. Okay. But do you know that we are all number one to someone else, to someone special? Do you know who we are all number one to?
God and Jesus.
God. God sees us. He sees each one of us, and he loves us, that we're all number one in his eyes. God loves us so much that he loves us that he sent his son Jesus just for each one of us. He didn't, that's right. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't say, you're going to be last, you're going to be third, you're going to be fifth. He said, we're all number one in God's eyes. Isn't that amazing that we can all be number one?
Yeah. All winners.
We're all winners in God because when we, that's right. No, there's no losers. When we are loving God and when God loves us, we are no losers, right? We are all number one. So what I want you to do is I want you to take your finger, hold it like this. Okay? And I want you to say, I'm number one to God.
I'm number one to God.
Are y'all number one to God? Yes.
Definitely.
So take your number one home with you and let it remind you that God loves you. He watches over you. He cares about you and that you are number one to him. And that is an amazing thing that God puts all of us as important to him. Okay. All right. Let's say a prayer. Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you care about us. And we thank you that we're number one to you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And we thank you as we learn today that we will continue to learn about you and how much your love, how great your love is for us. And we thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today and for their families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you are having a great morning so far. If you would stand with me to do the Apostles' Creed. We'll let the kids go up first. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So just a quick announcement. Most of y'all by now have heard that we have gone over to a new app. And with that, Push Pay Giving that was on the old app is also now going to be going away. So if you are on the Push Pay Giving, we are encouraging you to set up a new giving account on the new app. So if you need help with that, Naomi and Teresa are more than happy to help you get that all set up and finalized. So ask them any questions you need. So this morning, I kind of wanted to talk about just this time that we're kind of in. It seems like by the end of this school year, right now seems to be more chaotic and stressful than the rest of the school year. Even if you don't have kids, it just seems like this time of the year, you're tired, you're worn out, things have been happening, lots of stuff. Who can say that they honestly would love just like a day of sleep? Yeah, a lot of us would, right? And so it just comes this time where even if maybe things are going great in your life, you're just tired, right? And that tiredness, that weariness, we need to take it to God. Because we can't overcome those challenges, those faces, the things we're facing by ourselves. We have to give it to God because He can handle everything. And even in the good times, we need to give that to God. And so I'm going to go over the Serenity Prayer, which a lot of y'all might know, but some of y'all, it might be new for you. And so I encourage you, as I'm reading this prayer, I'm going to take pauses in between the sentences so that you can make it your own prayer, that you can go to God with whatever is going on in your life right now, and you can talk to Him about it and give it to Him. And hopefully from that, you will get a little bit of peace in the kind of chaos that's going on right now. So I encourage you to bow your heads and take that time to pray to God yourself and make it your prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. And dear Lord, I pray as we move in to the prayer that You taught us to pray, dear Lord, that these would be more than just words that we say every Sunday, but we would say them with meaning and conviction so that we can share Your love with others, dear Lord. If you will join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a reminder, if you would like to give an offering this morning, there is offering boxes on both sides of the sanctuary by the doors, and you can also give on the new app. Thank you.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Do you exalt him? Amen. Amen. Well, welcome again to our service. Glad that you are here and worshiping with us. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. Hope you feel the love of his people. And there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe and says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I would love for you to do that and meet me down at this end of the foyer after the service. I have a free gift for our guests and would love to meet you. Also, Ray, where's Ray? Ray, there you are. You're really hard to miss, Ray. I want to remind the men, Wylie Baptist is hosting they've given us a bunch of tickets to Dennis Swanberg. And if you haven't heard Dennis Swanberg before, he is hilarious. And he also has a lot of truth that he shares. A very inspirational guy, a very funny guy. June the 10th, 7 p.m. at Wylie Baptist Church, and they've given us some tickets. And if you are interested in going to that, you can either raise your hand now and Ray will bring you on, or you can see Ray after the service. Now, it's men. You'd have to put a hat on in disguise to go in. Ladies, we're working on getting y'all something. Yeah, no, we already were. Okay, see Ray if you'd like to be a part of that. So, in honor of Memorial Day weekend, I've asked one of our veterans, Gary Gamotes, to come and read God's Word. And I've never seen Gary speechless, but I held him speechless in the first service when I said he was almost a veteran. He had been part of the Navy. And he had no comeback. I've never seen that, Billy. It's impossible. But he's had a couple hours to work on it.
That's great.
Okay, go ahead. The mic is yours.
It takes a special person to see the world.
Bad joke.
I like you had emotions with it.
May the word of our Lord penetrate our hearts and our minds. We'll be reading Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Gary. If you'll bow with me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We've invited you, and we trust that you're with us because you promised to be with us when we're gathered in your name. So, Lord, would you speak? Holy Spirit, speak. And speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
There we go. And we pay Brent Aiken to say rude things about his boss. We normally check our batteries, and we must have forgot today. All right. Hey, Brent, come here. Come here.
Sit right there. No, sit right
there. I want to make sure you hear every word of this today. All right. Where was I? Yeah, is this on? It wasn't on for a second. Thank you, Irene. So I'm continuing the sermon series, Blessed, and today's message is Blessed Are the Peacemakers. I want to give credit, I've done this a few times in this series. Dr. Tony Evans, a pastor, I've been reading a book that, and he kind of helps give me some thoughts as far as unpacking this sermon from the Lord. So I want to give Dr. Evans credit for that. So one of the things... that I wanted to ask you. How many of you, are you uncomfortable yet, Brent?
No.
Okay. How many of you know the name Alfred Bernard Nobel? Some of you in the early service are cheating. How about just Alfred Nobel? Does that help? Okay. I'm going to educate you. So, how about if... What would you think that he might be known for? The Nobel Prize. Yes, Alfred Bernard Nobel came up with the Nobel Prize. Well, he did something else. He was also an inventor. He was a physicist, and he invented a lot of things and patented a lot of inventions. And one of his, probably his most well-known invention, anybody know?
Dynamite.
He patented dynamite in 1867, and he had seen that they were using nitroglycerin to blast through mountains, and they were making roads and train tracks and all this, and the nitro had caused a lot of deaths. It was very unstable, and so he came up with this invention, dynamite, which made the explosives much more stable and saved lots of lives, and he obviously wanted to use it in a positive way. So in 1888, his brother Ludwig, is I believe how you pronounce his name, passed away, and a newspaper mistook his brother Ludwig for him, and he wrote his obituary. Basically, he wrote this big article. Thought that Alfred Nobel had passed away. And here's what the headline said: "The Merchant of Death is Dead." And Alfred saw this write-up about his brother, knowing that they had mistaken his brother for him, and thought to himself, well, good grief, I don't want to be known. I don't want to go down in history as the Merchant of Death. And so, guess what he did? He was a very rich man, very wealthy man. He established the Nobel Peace Prize. I find that very, very interesting that he did not want to be known as a merchant of death. He wanted to be known as a peacemaker. So we're going to unpack verse 9 of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount today, and I'm just going to dive right in. The first point, and you can follow along in your insert or online there on the screen. Number one is a peacemaker is different than a peacekeeper. They may sound the same. They may, on first blush, you may think that they are the same, but in reality, no, they're two very different things. Let's look at it. A peacekeeper looks to avoid conflict at all costs. looks to avoid conflicts at all costs. I was saying, it just kind of came, this vision came to me in the first service. I guess I looked over and saw Lynn Lahan, our resident retired vet. And I was thinking about, you ever gone to the vet, to, I'm not to the vet, but to the pound to pick out a dog? I mean, or to look at dogs? Some of the women are going, I can't do it. I'd come home with 19 dogs. But I always, if one dog, I mean, you come into the, I remember I've gone a few times and you're walking really, you're kind of opening the door and you're walking really gingerly. It's like, because if the first dog starts barking, it's over with. Every dog in the place begins to bark. So you're looking to be a peacekeeper to avoid the ruckus. So you're just being very, very careful. A peacekeeper also seeks to please others rather than please God. A peacekeeper seeks to please others rather than seeks to please God. How many of you are recovering people pleasers besides me? We got a few, just a few. A few brave ones that admit it. So a peacekeeper, their objective in life is to avoid conflict, to walk easily so that we just want everybody, can't we all just get along? We just want everybody to be happy. A peacemaker is different. A peacemaker is someone who is actively involved in creating harmony where conflict once existed. So they are, a peacemaker recognizes, guess what? There's going to be conflict. We're not getting through this world where everybody's happy about everything at all times and we're all getting along just perfectly. No, the peacemaker is looking and seeking to actively get involved to create harmony where once existed conflict. Also, a peacemaker faces the conflict with truth and looks to resolve it. That's truth. I've preached on this. Our culture, we don't even want to think that there's actually truth in our culture, in our world. But to bring truth into conflict with the intention to resolve it. So it's important that we distinguish between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. God, Jesus, through this passage, is not calling us to be peacekeepers. He's calling us to be peacemakers, where we recognize there's going to be conflict and we step into that conflict with truth and love and we begin to seek resolution. Secondly, peace is a central component of Christ's character. It's a central component of Christ's character. This scripture is full of this. I'm going to hit just a few items that floated to the top for me. First of all, God is a God of peace. He's a God of peace. 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. I don't know why, but that I don't even like that phrase, God is not a God, because there is only one God. But that's another sermon for another day. But God is a God of peace. Secondly, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. As his birth was being foretold, as Isaiah documented what was to come in Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is peace. His birth ushered in a kingdom of peace. Luke chapter 2, the angel appeared to the shepherds. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host was with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. That really struck me, the last piece of that really struck me just this week, that he didn't come to bring peace to the world. He came to bring peace, his peace, to people that place their faith in him. Because the world is not going to be at peace. The world is in conflict. The world is in turmoil. The world is sinful, broken. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men / women on whom his favor rests. When Jesus comes into someone's life, his peace should be attached to that. His birth ushered in a kingdom of peace. Jesus conveys peace on us. So, John, I love this, John chapter 14. Jesus has been telling his disciples what's to happen to him. This is before he goes to the cross. He's been telling them what's going to happen, the suffering that's going to happen. He's going to die and he's going to be raised on the third day. You can imagine the anxiousness in the disciples. And here's what he says to them after he has told them repeatedly what's fixing to happen. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What Jesus is saying is that his peace is different than the world's peace. And I've said this before, but the world's peace is when everything lines up perfectly. Which, how often does that happen, church, in our lives? Cheryl, I mentioned your one of Cheryl's favorite movies in the early service, While You Were Sleeping. And there's a scene in there where the dad is talking to his son, and he's saying, you spend your whole life, you're working and you're laboring so that everyone will be healthy, everyone will be happy, you got plenty of money, and it lasts this long, and the son says, "This ain't one of those times, Dad." But the world, it's so rare for everything to be in alignment, yes? But Jesus says, that's not what I'm offering you. I'm not offering you the world's peace. I'm offering my peace. My peace I leave with you. He conveys his peace on us. And then to further that point, Jesus goes to the cross. He's resurrected. And we pick it up in John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He doesn't scold them. He doesn't chastise them for failing him in his hour of need. He comes and he offers peace. Man, I don't know, church. Maybe I'm the only one that needs his peace. This world, man, it can drain you. It can just absolutely wear you out. I don't know about you, I need Jesus' peace. And then, to further that point, peace is the central component of Christ's character. The fruit of the Holy Spirit contains peace. You know, today, it's ironic, today being Pentecost Sunday, read Acts chapter 2. It's awesome to just revisit that. But when Jesus said that it was important that he was going to be with the Father, and the disciples didn't understand, and he said, "Unless I go, I can't send this Spirit of peace. I can't send this Counselor to you. He can't be with you unless I go, and then I will send him." And so he did that. He fulfilled that on Pentecost Sunday. And yet, we read, where's Cindy? Cindy, where are you at, Cindy? I told Cindy I was going to brag on her a little bit this morning. My 4-year-old granddaughter, I'll bet you she can say the fruit of the Spirit like nobody's business, because she learned it this year through Cindy and all the workers in Mother's Day Out. She's 4 years old, and she'll throw them down, man. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And she says it well. She says it fast. And don't let a 4-year-old outdo you, church. Amen. Learn the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? The third fruit of the Spirit seems like it might apply today. Peace. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, His peace, we should exude His peace. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect and we're never going to be stressed out and we're never going to have any struggles, but But over by and large, we should be at peace when everything else is chaotic around us. People should look at us and go, why are you not freaking out right now? They just laid off half the company, and you're one of them. Why are you not freaking out? Because the peace of Christ resides in me. That's why. And then finally, to be a peacekeeper demonstrates we are God's child. Demonstrates we are God's child. This passage today, blessed are the peacemakers. And so what Jesus, remember, I've early in the series, I talked about that word blessed, meaning the way I like to look at that is that in God's sweet spot, that when we, that peacemakers, remember, people that step into conflict with the goal to bring truth and resolve the conflict, peacemakers are in God's sweet spot. You know, to be a child of God is to share in His character, meaning His character has rubbed off on you. And I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm going to talk about my dad for a minute. But, you know, lost my dad a few years ago. And no, not all of us had or have godly moms and dads, but I did. I was blessed with that. And my dad left me something. He didn't leave me a fortune or anything like that. But what my dad left me was a legacy. A legacy of integrity. Of character. And because I want to honor my dad, I want to live into that. Being a peacemaker proves, demonstrates that we are a child of God. It's like when if I conduct myself well, I'm proving that my dad's teaching, his example he set for me was not in vain. Now that's the goal. That's the charge for me. It's a charge for each of us. You want to be blessed? You want to be in God's sweet spot? Be a peacemaker. And then people will know that you're a child of the King. That He's rubbed off on you. We have a counter enemy. We have an enemy that deals in lies and conflicts and bitterness and divisiveness and unforgiveness. And lying and discord is His native language. But God is a God of unity and peace. And He seeks that in us. If we want to be in His sweet spot, we will be peacemakers. It's important to Jesus. In one of His last prayers before He went to the cross, He's just prayed for His disciples. And then He says in John 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. You and me. That's who He's praying for. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be also in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So when we are unified, when we are peacemakers, when we step in to situations that of conflict and we are bringing peace into that, we're showing the world that we belong to Jesus, that He has rubbed off on us. We're demonstrating that. And it all happens at the cross. Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. You know, I don't know, I'm getting off a little bit on this, but I just feel like I'm supposed to share it. Cheryl and I, many of you know the Hillsong. We watched a special on the Hillsong Church. They've written some incredible music that we sing, and I think that's anointed by God, but they've had all sorts of problems with their ministry and people doing all sorts of unethical and immoral things. and we were watching a special on that last night. And when we finished, the what it amounted to, their preacher had become their God. I mean, people were worshiping this young, dynamic preacher, and he failed. And I told Cheryl when we ended the deal, I said, "Man, we just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. Please don't ever. I mean, I'm not saying anybody would, but please don't ever exalt me. Jesus. Jesus, the name that is above every name. Let us point people to him, because he's the changer of hearts. He's the restorer of marriages, of brokenness. He is a peacemaker, and he calls us to be peacemakers." If you'll just bow your heads with me as a praise team comes up. Father, you are our peace. We want to be like you. We want you to rub off on us, Jesus. We want to be your child. We want to be blessed so that we might bless others. And Father, we confess to you that we can't do it alone. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit to equip us and empower us. Thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you for reconciling us and being our peace at the cross. We want to be a child of the King. So, Prince of Peace, do what you do. Convict us and change us. Empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder that there will be some people down front to pray. The altar is always open. I will be out to, would love to greet you and greet our guests as you leave. If you will rise, if you are able, as we close.
Yeah.
said that peacemakers are in his sweet spot. And when we're in his sweet spot, we will be called his child. Go and get in his sweet spot. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.